going to start off with just a short piece of music. If you were lucky, you were listening to Albert's Folk Show this morning, and you heard Lindsay Clark. And here's a little bit of Lindsay. Song for Seasons, since we are changing seasons, and we've got the Astoria Music Festival here in the room, and we're going to get situated and come right back at you. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio.
Seasons of New England are constantly rearranging the wild, attracting vows once made, scattering scree and raspberry seed. Rain dances an arc of color stretched across, twisting arms of Cape.
You're listening to Lindsay Clark, who will be performing at the Sou'wester in Seaview tomorrow. And you can always hear lots more of her live if you happen to be in another part of the world or you're going to another event. You can check her out, Lindsay Clark, and you can also go to our website, coastradio.org, click on Listen, check Archives, and listen to Albert's show, which is always a good show. And at about 11 o'clock, Lindsay did a whole bunch of gorgeous music. So right now, however, I have completely different kind of music. Although good music is good music, so what's so completely different about it? Bottom line is, we have, as I mentioned, the Astoria Music Festival in town. I'm sure many of you have realized that because there's stuff going on all the time, and there are many new faces, and it's very exciting. This is the 16th annual summer celebration. Keith Clark is actually in the studio, although today on this show he's not the star, but he is the artistic director who has brought us the festival each year, and we are very grateful. Hi, Keith.
Hi.
Good to have you here. I also have, sitting quietly but not forever, is Olivia Tsui, who has been here many years, and she's shaking her head. Yes, this is radio, no head shakes.
Hi,
Hi, Olivia.
Carol. Hi, Carol.
And we will come back to Olivia as well. There are events going on practically every day, including tonight, and last night was Ilya Kazantsev's first ever solo piano recital in Astoria. And people walking out of there had these huge smiles on their faces. Everybody was thrilled. Tonight at 7:30 at the Liberty Theater is Astoria Festival All-Stars. You can go to astoriamusicfestival.org, or you can call 503-325-9896 if you want to get information, get tickets. Walk over to the Liberty if you're nearby. That's on 12th and Commercial. The box office is open. And we met Chica last week on this very show, along with, of course, Carrie and Sergei and Ilya. They were all here last week. It was a big group. Tomorrow at 4, we have Sergei's annual happy hour, and Darren Orange is back in, so that's Sergei and Ilya with Darren painting. And then at 7:30 is the Baroque Ensemble with Monica Huggett, conductor and violinist. And then we come to my special guest today. Special because, is this your first time at the Astoria Music Festival?
It is, yes.
We have a true virgin here, not only for Coast Community Radio, but also for the Astoria Music Festival. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's a true pleasure. I love being a virgin at the festival
and
the radio show.
I'm afraid it's all over.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know how it goes.
I'm just going to lose it.
Yeah, you'll get used to it. my guest is Imre Paolo from... Where are you from?
Well, that's a long story. How much time do we have?
Where do you live now? Let's make it easy.
At this point, I'm living in Venice, Florida, with plans moving to Oregon.
Good. Much better.
Climate's
better here,
too. Otherwise, we wouldn't plan it.
There you go. As you can hear, though, that is not a Florida accent. You'll have to come tonight and talk to Imre and find out the rest of his history, because now I would like to have him tell us about the opera that he will be conducting, Tosca, and what qualifies him to be conducting this.
Nobody's ever qualified to do anything, just generally. What makes me conduct Tosca, because I love the opera, and I suppose I did it many, many places, repeatedly. I performed it in Europe, as well as I performed it in the United States, Canada, South America. So I have a certain amount of experience with this opera, which makes it easier, I think, on the singers, on the musicians, and even on me, to have somebody who did it so often that the person who does it knows where his help is needed and where he's superfluous. Because a conductor is, most of the time, a conductor is very superfluous. If you listen eventually to Olivia, she will tell you that...
we have three conductors in the room, folks.
Exactly.
This is
three
very
superfluous
unusual.
People. Oh. Three totally superfluous now, people. But occasionally they need the help, and I know where it is.
And that's a lovely thing. Have you had the opportunity to work with the performers?
Yes, I had the opportunity. As a matter of fact, we were just chatting about that at Indiana University, where I was professor. I did, I think, the first operatic performance of Angela Brown.
Oh,
who was doing Ariadne, and I conducted that. Then I facilitated and conducted the European debut of Alan Glassman at the Frankfurt Opera. So that was also... So we have a long history going back musically and... humanly as well. We are real good friends, which facilitates the quality of the performance.
And the communication,
absolutely. Sure. We had, and as a matter of fact, with Alan Glassman, I called him in at Frankfurt Opera, where I was conducting Tosca. The tenor got sick, and he came in for the third act. And I said, would you please sing the third act while we were rehearsing Rusalka? And Alan came in, and that was so... Third act, we don't need to rehearse with Alan, because we did it once in Frankfurt.
I see. How many years ago was that-ish?
That was in 89.
I see. Okay.
A few-ish years.
Yes.
Almost 20,
I suppose. Good. There's muscle memory there, I see.
Yes.
Have you always been a conductor? I presume you play some instruments?
I was, when I was a kid, I wasn't a conductor yet. And then I started, you know, I just didn't become good enough on any instrument to play it, and I still wanted to be involved in music. And so that's how I became a conductor. My original instrument was piano, and then I did the European way towards conducting, which is you become a coach at an opera company, and then eventually at the opera company, they give you a chance to conduct, and if you do well enough, then you get another chance, and then it mushrooms. And I made sure that I didn't play the piano well enough, so they let me conduct, because since they were, I had a contract
anyway.
For 2 years, they wanted to get their money's worth, so they said, he can't play the piano, maybe he can conduct, give him a chance. And that's how it started.
Well, I have, as I mentioned, two other esteemed conductors in the room, and they're laughing, which is a good thing, because they could be throwing darts at Imre, saying, wait a minute, you're dissing conductorship. I don't know.
Well, look, I hate conductors who take themselves too seriously.
Or anyone else.
Or anyone else, for that matter. But conducting, you know, you see that person up there, if you show me one baton which makes any sound, then I'll buy you three dinners here in Astoria. So the conductor is the least usable person. It's not usable. It's the musicians who make the sounds, the singers who sing, the instrumentalists who play the instrument. And the conductor is stand there as a dumb person and... tries to look good and look as if he knew what the hell he's doing.
So how are these, just between you and me, what do you think about the folks that you're going to be connecting?
They help me a lot. They help me a lot, but don't tell them.
Okay.
As I said, they mustn't know that they are doing the job and I'm standing there and,
you know, and people look like
at
the important.
Exactly. And so totally unimportant.
For those who I've said to my listening audience just that, there are people who actually don't like opera, think they don't like classical music. And I said, come anyway, you will find out that it opens up whole
new
worlds.
They'll fall in love.
Can you tell us a short story on Tosca, why this might be a good opera for folks?
Well, the story is, there is a painter who is painting in a church. Mm. There is a refugee who runs away from a prison, finds refuge in the church. And his refuge was prepared by his sister, whom this painter happens to paint because she was there. And this painter has a very jealous girlfriend who is an actress. That's Tosca.
Oh, wow.
Tosca is an actress, and she's very jealous.
And that's Angela Brown.
That's Angela Brown. She's very jealous, incredibly jealous.
Oh, I can't wait. She looks like such a lovely person in this picture.
Then there is a dictator of Rome, and that's Carpia. He's an evil, evil man. I won't bring any comparisons
now. Oh, that's Richard Zeller. Yeah.
But that's Richard Zeller.
Yes.
And he's evil.
Yes.
And he's after Tosca. He is maybe not in love, but lusting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a great opera, we told already. Lust, love, painting.
Yes.
An actress who is jealous. So that's all already there.
Very, very dramatic.
Exactly.
And theatrical. I'm glad you mentioned that. Scarpia is the bad guy because as I mentioned last week on the radio, Richard Zeller nearly decapitated me some years back. It was unintentional, and as you can see, it didn't work. So we'll talk about that
Richard
later.
Richard Zeller is one of the sweetest guys.
He is. I know. That's why I forgave
plays,
him.
He plays. He fakes.
And he's good at it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's wonderful.
He's good at it. And our own local fabulous opera person, Di Guidi, is in this.
Oh, he's delightful.
Well.
He's the sacristano. He's the in that church where the painter paints and where the refugee runs in. And he's the sacristano, and he mixes things and mixes the paintings and brings the food for the painter. So that's
nice.
That.
And Alan Glassman is the painter,
Alan
which
Glassman.
He's not. But
no,
he
he's
is.
Not.
No.
But okay. Everything else, Alan is.
That's
Alan
good.
is a multi-talented, wonderful yes. human being also.
So you know who else I see is here is
wow.
another one of our local special people, and that is Minta Hefker, who is the youngster.
Yes, she's a young lady.
Yes.
And she's singing the pastorella. Originally, it's a pastorello, so it's a person who takes, who is a sheep herd.
Mm-hmm, shepherd.
Shepherd.
And this time
and
it's a shepherd.
So she's
yes.
the shepherd, but we don't see the sheep. We just hear the shepherd and see the shepherd and discover there is not even a sheep's dog there, and that we should have really.
I agree.
And though I saw once
except
in
that
Germany,
I have to clean up afterwards because
well,
I work there.
Look,
so maybe
somebody
not.
Has got to clean up. That's
so. Listen, this is happening on Sunday.
At
4 p.m. But I noticed that there is an opera preview. Is that happening with? It says Mark Ross Clark, who is the director of Louisiana Lyric Opera. Is that happening
yes,
as far
Mark,
as you know?
Mark, we go back a long way, too. We were together at IU.
You opera people hang out together or what? What's the story?
Look, it's a small world. There are about three conductors who can conduct opera. There are four singers who can sing opera. And probably three people who can stage opera.
And they're all
so
here in
always
a story.
Together.
They're all here in a story.
And there are maybe 10 musicians who can play opera. And Olivia is one of them.
Folks, you can see that the opera has its own life, but also I think you're going to want to meet Imre Paolo, my guest and our guest conductor for Tosca. Again, it's happening Sunday, the 24th, at 4 p.m., with a preview at 3. But you want to get your tickets because these are reserved seats. So go to AstoriaMusicFestival.org or call the office 503-325-9896 or just go by the Liberty, I believe, there. And also the Astoria Music Festival office is right down the street.
May I just mention one very important thing? At the end of the opera, people usually applaud. So they should applaud a lot because if they want to see me, I turn my back to the audience the whole time. So if they to see my face, if they want to and they should, then they should applaud a lot because that's when I turn to the audience.
That's the only time they get to see. I think that's important. I wondered about how it would feel because my two other conductors as well be having your back to the audience at all times. I don't care for that. Personally, I wouldn't be that comfortable. Olivia, do you agree with everything that Imre has said? Do you agree with anything that he has said about that?
Well, of course, first of all, it's such an honor to be in a room with two true maestros. That's Mr. Paolo and Mr. Clark. And this is my 8th year with the Astoria Music Festival. Yeah. And I found myself often wear a few different hats. And
are you doing this year?
This year, I'm a concert master for all concerts. Mm. And we had two really fabulous concerts last weekend with Maestro Clark conducting. And in such a short time, and everybody put together, it was a truly wonderful, wonderful experience for all of us.
What's coming up? And either one of you want to tell folks what they need to not miss?
Well, this coming Sunday,
of course,
being such a wonderful experience, a pleasure for us to work with Maestro Paolo. He knows every note, every part, and. Again, in such a short time, he was able to put all us together and work on all the details, the balances. And on the top of that, he has such a wonderful sense of humor.
That we noticed, yes.
So we're really all truly enjoying it.
Wonderful. Are you doing anything else this weekend?
Besides this
opera.
Weekend opera, and next Wednesday night, I'll be organizing...
Oh, yes.
A concert with young artists, young musicians. We have a string quintet plus a woodwind quintet. We've been doing some works, actually from Mozart work and to Maestro Keith Clark. By the way, not many of you knew that he is a wonderful composer. So we'll be introduced two of his work to us and another... A couple of pieces by our composer in residence for this year, Todd Mason, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we'll be working with a couple of young singers.
Wonderful.
From the group.
So let's just mention this particular performance that Olivia Tsui is speaking of is at the Clatsop College Performing Arts Center. That's 16th and Franklin. It's not at the Liberty. It's at 16th and Franklin at the PAC, which has marvelous acoustics. But you can still get your tickets through the Astoria Music Festival and or show up at the door. The concert is at 7:30 on Wednesday. And yes, I see that Keith Clark, two weddings. That's very exciting.
Can you dance on two weddings at the same time?
Those are... well, Carol, thanks for having
me.
This is Keith Clark, by the way, and I am lodged between two great conductors. I feel like one of those Intel semiconductors.
Oh, dear.
And so that work that the music that you're speaking of, I rarely promote or perform my own music, but in this case... I wanted to because they're each is a piece that I composed, one for my daughter's wedding and one for my son's recent wedding.
Oh, how lovely.
And I've only heard them in the context of weddings. And
are they still married?
They haven't.
Having listened to
it's
your
survived,
composition.
They haven't listened to it long enough. But thus far, it's
so folks,
it seems to be working out.
You can actually see another side of Keith Clark. That's funny because I was just talking about looking at the back of you. But this is the music composition side, and that will be on Wednesday. But between now, which is 3:25 at Coast Community Radio, and Tosca, we have tonight at 7:30, Astoria Festival All-Stars. That's going to be a really fun time with Carrie Lewis, Chica Inui, Sergei Antonov and Ilya Kazantsev. And then tomorrow is 4 o'clock is the Sergei's annual Happy Hour Sights and Sounds, Bach, at 2:22. Cute. Sergei on cello, Ilya on piano, and Darren Orange from Astoria painting up a storm. And then on Saturday evening at 7:30, these are all at the Liberty, is the Astoria Music Festival Baroque Ensemble with Monica Huggett, conductor and violinist, and more Bach. And then comes Tosca with Imre and Paolo, and I'm sure you don't want to miss that. I certainly don't. And I see that the North Coast Chorale is going to be helping out a little bit too, plus members of the Portland Summerfest Chorus. So all different experiences. Tuesday is more Bach. Oh, my. The three sonatas for viola da gamba with Sergei on cello, Carrie Lewis on piano. And who's on viola da gamba?
Well,
it's been adapted.
Well, these sonatas were composed by Bach for the ancient instrument, the viola da gamba, that had long gone out of fashion, sort of in our day. Oh, think of an 8-track
God forbid.
Tape recorder in your car. That's the equivalent of what the viola da gamba was in the era of Bach.
You know,
it was a great Renaissance instrument. Bach wrote for that. But Sergei is going to play it
on cello.
Modern cello, but there will also be later on a demonstration of what it would sound like on a true viola da gamba. And
which some of us heard, actually, I believe, at Grace Episcopal Church on
Tuesday.
You did,
and you shall hear it also on this concert as well. What you'll hear is a very short demonstration, not academic, an interesting one, showing the transition from this ancient Renaissance instrument, viola da gamba, which means the viola of your thighs. Baroque cello, and then to the modern cello. So we have all three of those instruments there that night.
Folks, it's a fabulous festival, and you were just hearing Keith Clark, who is the artistic director. He gets to make the final decisions, if not most of the other ones as well. It's 16th annual, and I've been delighted to have as my guests Imre Paolo, who is a first-timer here in Astoria, but he has been around the world. And Olivia Tsui, who you said this is your 8th festival.
Yes.
Wonderful. And Keith Clark, this is your 16th festival.
Indeed it is.
Me too. Thanks so much for coming in, and I'll see you tonight. And
great.
I hope
thank
folks,
you for having us.
You will as well. And this is Coast Community Radio. I have some music lined up. This is, again, as different as it can be from what we were just hearing. Have a listen. Why am I playing this? Not because we believe it, but yesterday was the solstice.
Against the wall, got a splinter in the winter, but in the spring I'll have it all.
a bummer of a summer. Spent the fall against the wall. Got a splinter.
Well, as I said, it is not a bummer of a summer at all, but this is the West Valley Shakers, and they are kick and a half, and they are going to be at the Southwester on July 4th at 6:01. That's right. So stay tuned for more of them. Right now, I have our good friend, whom I've only known for how many years? Georgina Jones is here, and she has been working with Victory Over Child Abuse / The Healing Circle for how long?
16 years now.
There you go, George. That's amazing. Well, that's only half the life, though, because she's here to tell us that this year is the 30th anniversary of the creation of the VOCA camps, and there's a celebration tonight from 7 to 10 at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. Congratulations to us, hey?
Yeah, exactly. How long have you been volunteering VOCA?
What an amazing... Can you tell folks, because there are a lot of folks out there who've never heard of VOCA, which is hard to imagine, but it's true.
Right. Yeah, so the Healing Circle is a nonprofit organization in Astoria that serves Clatsop County youth who are survivors of sexual abuse. VOCA Camp is our annual camp in the fall. We have a boys' camp and a girls' camp, and it's a traditional summer camp atmosphere. It's all about having fun and being at camp and just being able to be a kid, regardless of this quote-unquote secret that you've had to carry around. VOCA camps are super fun. We have an upcoming training July 27th if you're interested in learning more about becoming a volunteer. It takes about 80 to 100 volunteers to pull off a camp every year.
Is there a website folks can go to?
It's vocacamp.org, and that will have all our training dates on it.
Good. Good.
And there's also some great videos to watch on that as well.
And I can vouch for VOCA camp being a wonderful experience for everyone. It's just, it's a lot of fun. It's short, 3.5 days. So you can make time for it if you have the ability to work with others, play nicely with others in some way. VOCA camp will find a place for you. You may be working with the kids. You may be working in the kitchen. You may. There are lots of jobs that need to be done. As Georgina said, it takes a not even a village. It takes a world,
right.
And it's a wonderful gathering. So what's happening tonight?
So tonight is our birthday party, our 30th birthday party, and we will be rolling back to 1988 when the Healing Circle, when the first camp was held.
Right.
And so it's kind of a flashback to the 80s night. We'll have a lot of contests and, of course, an 80s themed dance party. We have a volunteer that's put together a lot of fun activities. So we have a cassette tape tug. We're seeing who can unroll the cassette tape the fastest. We'll have a best air guitar contest, best moonwalk. She set up a Pac-Man walk similar to a cake walk. We have a two different trivia contests, of course, best costume. It's going to be a family-friendly event. We'll honor the founders of the Healing Circle, Margaret Firmuth and Sharon Headbloom, with a special gift.
Wonderful.
And, it'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a slideshow. Your picture, I'm sure, will be in there several times, of the years.
Every year, what's a different theme also, and... so there was extra thought that would go into it. But there are songs from VOCA, because we always do a lot of singing at VOCA. And there are songs that have become so much a part of our lives. So many people in this community,
right,
and beyond. There are people who come from Portland every year to be part of VOCA. Not the children. The children are all local children, aren't they?
Well, unless they've moved away. We've tried to follow them and allow them to come back. And it's unique in that way, in that children get to kind of grow up. And it makes me feel really honored to watch them grow up. We've had youth that come back year after year, and, they're there from 5 to 18. And it's just an amazing opportunity. It's like a family reunion every year.
It is. And then some of those youth decide to become the big buddies.
Correct.
And they're able to help out with the younger children. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So,
yeah, that's the best. I think that's a testament to our success, really.
Yeah. It's so inspiring and so much fun and so many good people. So tonight, from 7 to 10, people just come. There is a charge. It's not much. It all goes to the VOCA camps. This is community for community. And it is at, as I say, the AAMC. That's the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. Do you have the address there?
I don't.
Okay. I think it's on 10th Street.
Yeah.
It's the fabulous Odd Fellows Hall that is recently been purchased and will stay an arts and movement center into perpetuity. So check it out and go to the website vocacamp.org and come on over tonight. Thank you, Georgina.
Thank you, Carol. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity. And again, if anybody wants to get more involved with VOCA Camp, our summer training up at the college starts July 27th.
Okay.
And that's on the college, on our website.
Right.
Like that. Yeah.
And you can go and see if it's for you, too, because there are people who take the training, because the training is a ripple effect. It will change your life for the better. And the lives of everyone around you. So check it out. I highly recommend.
Yeah, we definitely get more out of VOCA Camp than we put in, I think, as volunteers.
I think so. And it goes on forever.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Thank you so much,
Thanks,
Georgina.
Carol.
What's your job title, by the way?
I'm the director there.
Oh, boy. I love it. Yowza. You started as what?
I started as a fundraising person there. Yeah. Uh-huh. So,
well, thank you so much.
And a volunteer.
For being with. So, thanks.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay. And got a little music, and I've got more guests coming to you. This one is brand new. It is from Adams and Costello. It's actually the one song from their new album, which is coming out soon. It's called Rise Up. And it was inspired by these troubled times because there's power in the people. This is Julie Adams and Michael Costello. And Julie wrote the vocals. And have a listen. And congratulations to them. And thanks to you for listening to Coast Community Radio. Folks, you're going to need to stay tuned and listen up for Adams and Costello. They are playing tomorrow morning, as part of the festival, which you're going to hear about in a minute, among other things, the Plein Air and More Festival that is going on in Cannon Beach. They're going to actually be playing at Cannon Beach Gallery tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. So let me introduce my next guest. Megan Sokol is here from the Cannon Beach Arts Association. Now, I invited her in because there is a fabulous summer art camp in July, but I went to the website. So welcome, Megan.
Thanks for having me, Carol.
So tell me something. Are there any classes that are still not sold out? Because it's so exciting.
It's true. It's a very exciting program. We have quite a few classes that are already sold out. But the good news is we do have some classes that still have some spots available.
And I saw that some are for children and some are for adults.
It's correct. Yeah. Yeah. So camp is going to be taking place this year, July 9th through July 13th. So mm-hmm. it's a full week, 5 days. And we have camp classes that are the full five. And we also have options that are 3 days. Mm-hmm. And we also have 2 and 1 day options. And it's for ages 3 to adults. So
wow.
we've Fantastic. Got some really cool new things that are happening this year to include really all ages.
Tell folks first, right off the bat, where they can see a website or something where they can look at the whole thing and say, I want this, this, and this.
Yeah, great question. So if you go to canonbeacharts.org and then /summer art camp. So we have a specific page that you can go to
okay.
that you can tab down to.
Summer
get all
arts
the information.
Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so 9th to the 13th. You've done this before.
I have, yes. I've been involved. This will be my 3rd year at camp, and it's one of my favorite things to do. I look forward to it every year.
So you work with the Cannon Beach Arts Association. You're in charge of the summer arts camp.
Correct, yeah.
And what else?
Yeah, so I'm the arts education director over at the Cannon Beach Arts Association, and I actually started as a docent volunteer, and then I started working at summer art camp. I was actually an instructor, so mm-hmm. I got to be in it and with mm-hmm. the kids, which is, you know, one of my favorite things to do.
Right.
And then last year, I actually assisted our previous director, Mary Beth Gloria, who did an amazing job. She'd been there for 3 years prior to our founder, which was someone who had been doing it for quite a few years, because this is our 16th annual summer art camp.
Holy cow, that's
yeah.
terrific. It's interesting, though, and I really appreciate the fact that you and Georgina, who was just in here for VOCA, both of you started as volunteers.
Yeah.
And then you committed yeah. to it and worked your way in and up
exactly.
and have maintained the relationship, which is terrific.
Yeah.
So would you recommend that the best thing for people to do is to go to that website and register?
Or? Yeah, you can yeah. actually go to that website. You can actually download our brochures if you want
oh.
more information. We provide them both in English and in Spanish
nice.
For our bilingual families.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a registration page on there as well, which is something that you can actually drop by the gallery if you're local. You can mail it in to us. Or you're even able to scan it and upload it and send it to us directly. If those don't work, you can always call me too. So I've got my number listed on the information as well.
Do you want to give us that?
Yeah. So you can contact me directly at 971-361-9308. And I can actually just walk through the registration with you. I actually really love that because then I get to meet the families before we get there.
Nice for some of the lower tech people.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I get not everybody has a computer or wants
right.
to try and scan something in. Or
right.
Yeah. So
right.
I'm trying to hit everybody.
Well, I like the idea that it's a whole week or anywhere from 1 to 5 days.
Yeah.
So people who, for example, a whole family might come out to Cannon Beach.
Yep.
Some may take one workshop. Some may take none.
Yep.
Or some may take the whole week for that. This is a great way to spend time at the beach.
Absolutely.
And then in the evening, of course, you can go to see the show at the Coaster Theater,
yep.
et cetera. So
it can really be a thing that you bring your family. And I have families that are local, of course,
of
to
course.
Cannon Beach or all the
of
way
course.
Up here in Astoria on the coast, around, come down from, you know,
oh,
Tillamook
yeah.
and Manzanita.
We got lots of local people who take part.
I also yeah. have people that some of my first calls are from a family in Colorado. So we have
oh,
people that come
nice.
From all over the place and make this a part of their camp. And we've got some pretty cool options this year. We've actually added in an adult art camp, which was a request by some of our parents and guardians. They wanted to come and get in on the fun as well. So we have 3 classes for them to take at the end of the week if they're so inclined to do so, which is in basket weaving, watercolor, and mixed media. So you've got some options
nice.
As an adult.
Well, it's only fair
yeah.
that the adults get to
exactly.
do something
exciting. They get to come and drop the kids off and see all the fun we're having.
Yeah.
So we're doing a little bit of a parent mixer for them too when they drop
nice.
The kids off at the beginning of the week. So there's lots of opportunities to do things. And then we also have music camp, which is new this year as well. And so that's going to be for our teens. So
when is that?
That is going to be taking place on Monday and Tuesday, and it's with our artist in residence, Evan Girodek. He's
oh,
going to be doing
nice.
A music camp in a private music studio in Cannon Beach. So it's a really unique opportunity.
Wonderful.
And so ages, if you are 14 to 18, you can come and take that camp with us. Mm-hmm. We still have spots available, and I'm actually going to be giving away a spot to that music camp. There's going to be a contest on Facebook, so look out for that.
How do you get to Facebook?
Yeah, so if you want to go to Facebook, that address is for us, facebook.com/CBArtCamp.
Okay.
And so I'll have all that information on there so that if you want to go and put a selfie up there or a video of you playing your favorite instrument or singing or what have you, just show me what it is that you do, and then we're going to pick a winner so that you can come and be part of music camp.
Wonderful. And the Jurda family is just amazing, the way these kids grew up slowly but surely and became, at a young age, a very important part of the music scene.
Absolutely.
So that's exciting. Now, Payback, and here he is giving a camp for the younger kids.
A very artistic, very musical family.
Lovely.
They support us well, yeah.
Now, since you're here, we promised that we would let you tell folks also what's happening this weekend. Actually, it already started, didn't it? Plein Air and More.
Yeah. So we actually have some Plein Air and More events taking place as we speak. So there's actually a workshop taking place with our Plein Air artist, Linda Gebhardt. She's doing watercolors as we speak now. She's doing a class. So that's some fun stuff that's taking place. And then, their coordinator, Bonnie, she let me know that there is quite a few things happening around town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There are artists throughout town today that are doing their Plein Air. They're painting live that you can go down to Cannon Beach and look at.
For people who don't speak French.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so plein air. So outdoors painting is basically what that means for anybody that's not familiar with that. And she tells me the great thing about our Plein Air and More Festival is that we're really unique in that we're the only one with the More part across the country. So that means that there's going to be sculptors, there's going to be, I think, 3D artists. So there's lots of things besides oil painting and watercolor painting out in the air or outside.
So you can actually walk around, get the locations, walk around and see, or don't even get the location, just be surprised and see all these folks making art on the spot. Ordinarily you think you go to a gallery and you see a demo. Well, these folks are all demoing, but that's because they're making their art, including Whitebird is having a 4 to 6 reception today, but tomorrow at 7 p.m., they are having a Raku firing on the beach with Dave and Bonnie Deal, and they make those huge, I got my hand way up in the air, they make huge pots and sculptures. Also, tonight and tomorrow night, Northwest by Northwest from 5 to 7 is featuring Hazel Schlesinger, who was the 2017 winner of the whatever it is that you win during plein air. But all over town, this is a great time to be in Cannon Beach and just cruise around. And yes, of course, there's food at the galleries. What kind of question is that? There's food, there's music, and then again, the Coaster Theater is opening tonight with Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery. So there's Cannon Beach is a hot spot this weekend. And then when it's a little quieter, it's never quiet in Cannon Beach in the summertime, but you can come back for the fabulous summer art camps, and that is again July 9th to 13th.
Yeah.
Megan, thank you so much. You got it all in there.
Well, and I wanted to say, too, keep an eye out for the Saturday after camp. We're going to be doing a pop-up art show in our gallery, so making it official for the kids and adults, everybody that's going to be participating in camp. That's Saturday, July 14th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., an open celebration reception for the kids. So we're going to be showing their work. You should definitely stop by and check that out as well.
And when she says our gallery, that's because Cannon Beach Arts Association runs the Cannon Beach Gallery, which is a nonprofit gallery. As most of us know, most of the arts are relatively nonprofit, but this one is specifically just like Ghost Community Radio. And it's a wonderful gallery. Cannon Beach is full of beautiful galleries with beautiful artwork And this weekend's going to be very special. So.
And I was going to say, make sure not to miss the swarm that's happening for Plein Air tomorrow, Saturday. That's 2 to 4 as well. We're going to have several of our artists, Linda Gebhardt, as well as Scott Johnson, Sharon Abbott Furs, Hilma Josal, and Kim Rose Adams are all being represented by the Cannon Beach Gallery. So
and
we've
where
got
are they
some cool stuff
be?
Happening.
What swarm?
They're
going
to be all around town. The so the actual swarm itself is going to be happening at the Coaster Courtyard. So that's going to be the location 2 to 4.
Okay.
But they're going to be all about town, so that's pretty cool.
Fantastic.
We have some amazing artists we're representing this year.
Yes, well, one of my favorite galleries. Thank you
so
much, Megan.
Oh, Carol, thank you so much for having me.
Telling us everything that's happening. Okay, folks, and again, you can go to the website, the cannonbeacharts.org/summerartscamp for all that stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks
okay. I have one more guest here, and she's also a virgin. Megan is not, sorry, not on arts. But she's looking a little nervous now because she didn't realize she was a virgin. Have you ever been on arts on KMUN before, Linda Joy Fenley?
Well, no. So I am
that makes
a,
you a virgin.
Local virgin, but I've been on radio in many other places.
Right. You're not a radio virgin. You are a KMUN virgin.
How exciting.
Yes. Yes, it is. Because at our age, it's hard to come by those experiences. So it's kind of special.
Yes. And
Megan
I'm looking more and more nervous as it goes on.
Yes. Well, I had to take her off guard because this woman is a world traveler, and we are meeting for the first time today because Linda Joy is a Servas member, traveler. And can you tell folks what Servas is in a short?
Yeah, it's unbelievable because it's 70 years old, just like me, and most people don't know about it. It's just this secret. But we don't want it to be a secret. So it's an organization that believes that the world will be a better place if we know each other. They believe in peace. It was started, in fact, by a conscientious objector from the United States in 1948 in combination with the British Peace Committee. And there are service organizations in many, many countries.
Mm-hmm.
And
most.
Yeah, most countries. Yeah. So you can travel and meet other Servas members. We generally stay at each other's houses, or we meet for coffee, or we show each other around, and we connect.
It's
That's what
kind
it's
of
about.
Like person-to-person diplomacy. And
maybe we do a better job than some of those official diplomats.
Oh, lordy lord, we certainly do. We also let each other know our interests, our where we live. If you know, some people want to visit in the city, some people want to be out in the country, or I happen to be going to Hungary. I look up, I get the booklet for Hungary, and I see where there are Servas hosts. My first guest was Hungarian, that's why I happened to
it's
pick
all
on
connected.
That.
Yeah, there's always a connection.
Yes, yes, and so Linda Joy is here. Have you been in Astoria before?
I might have driven through on my way to Port Townsend before, but I don't think I've stopped, and I'm finding that it might have been a mistake. There's a lot going on
here.
Well,
there's still lots of time, as you see, yes. And in fact, Linda Joy is on, you're on your way to Port Townsend right now.
Yeah, I got
slowly.
Very excited about a border musician. Border is very interesting these days. Her name is Belen Escobedo, and she's playing a type of border music that I'm really enthralled with, so I'm going up there to learn more about it. Port Townsend brings in musicians from all over the country and sometimes from out of the country, and we learn from each other.
So what's your connection with music? And as a matter of fact, as we speak, I'm going to put a little music on in the background from Caracuaros.
Los Caracuaros.
Los Caracuaros. Yes, I see there's an accent
mark.
Yes, they set up from Imbara. What is your connection to this music?
Well, I became very enthralled with this music. I found it by mistake one day when I lived in Mexico City for many, many years. And I was involved with a different kind of music, and I was learning about music from the Huasteca, which is one of the larger cultural regions in Mexico. And this there was a cassette misplaced in there, and I picked it up, and the person said, oh, this doesn't belong here, but it's good. So I bought it. I try to make the story as short as I can. I listened to the music for a year. I said, the guy's old, I gotta go meet him. I drove 2 days. It's basically a 7-hour trip, but it took me a while. It's out in the boonies. And I knocked on the door and I said, I want to meet Juan Reynoso.
Wow.
And I became so enthralled. And that was back in 1993. And I had a brand new video camera, which I didn't really know much about. And I started taking video. And I said, somebody ought to do a documentary. Actually, documentaries have been made of Juan since then, which I helped documentarians work on, but I never got around to doing more than a little pilot project. So I was looking for support, and an old friend of mine said, well, call Peter McCracken up in Port Townsend. I said, I don't know Peter. He said, yes, you do. Well, when I went to Port Townsend Festival of American Fiddle Tunes, Peter was not the director, but he's now been the director for many years. Peter hounded me to keep asking me the name of this person. I kept saying, it was just an old guy out in the sticks, you know, he's in Guerrero. And I didn't tell him the name, but when I finally told him the name, Peter fell apart. He said, he knew who he was.
Oh, wow.
Because he was recorded on the anthology of Son LPs many years ago. Anyway, we did get Juan to Port Townsend. The place fell apart. You could hear people's ears listening. And they told Juan something they never told any other musician. They said, Juan, as long as you want to and can, come. Well, remember, I met Juan when he was 80 years old.
Wow.
When I got him to Port Townsend, out of Mexico for the first time in his life, he was 82. And I took Juan to Fiddle Tunes for 9 consecutive years. I was about to take him for his 10th year, and I was getting more and more nervous as time went on. I mean, he's old, and he has health problems, and I had started working with another group because I was so enthralled with this music and wanted to promote it, Los Caracuertos, who were younger. And so I had actually booked a tour in the United States. I took them to Boston and Chicago and places. And let me just, this is going to finish it up. 2 weeks before I was going to take the Caracuertos home and pick up Juan and come back up here, I called Juan's wife. She said, Linda, I don't think we should go. Oh. I said, oh, Esperanza, I'm so sorry. And then I smiled big once I hung up the phone and called Peter, and I said, Peter, you just need to give me some tickets from Chicago to Seattle, and I'm there replacing Juan with Los Caracuertos, which you're listening to now.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So now, what was your background that you were, you drive for 2 days, knock on somebody's door, and start this whole process?
I was an amateur musician. I used to be calling square dances in the United States before I moved to Mexico, but I was a journalist, and that's what I was doing. I'm a journalist, and so I like to know people. I like to ask questions.
So you were a journalist in Mexico?
Yes.
Okay. Any reason? I mean, did you do journalism in the United States
as well? Yes, I went to school. And
for journalism.
And I got a degree in journalism, which I don't recommend because I think it's not a field of study, it's a tool. But anyway, I had been working for a newspaper here, and I was very tired of being in, I was on a daily paper in Marin County, California. And when I heard about a fellowship, which was a year off of school, and they give you a master's degree when you're done. I mean, a year off of school, not a year off of work. So I went to the University of Southern California, where I didn't want to live in Los Angeles, nor did I want to live in Mexico City, but I was required to live in L.A. for 8 months, and then Mexico City for 3 months. I never finished my three, I mean, I finished my 3 months and stayed for 18 years.
Yeah, 18 years, that's what I'm getting. And your Spanish was already there, or did you learn?
Yeah, I learned high school Spanish, and I've lived in Spanish-speaking countries for over 20 some years. Right. I lived in Spain. I lived in Central America. I worked as a journalist in Central America, too.
I love it. I love it. Linda Joy Fenley is my guest here. You can see why. And I am delighted because she is spending the weekend here in Astoria. I'm going to be at the Astoria Music Festival. I'm not sure. She may be in Cannon Beach. She may be at Voca. Lots and lots of options. This is such an exciting area. But I am delighted to have you as my guest.
Thank you so much, Carol. And I think we should maybe repeat, if we haven't already said, the information of how people can get a hold of Serv Us, because it opens up a whole world to you.
What's the website?
It's usservas.org.
Exactly.
And you can look at it, find out about it, see if it fits for you, and then you can join.
And you can be a traveler and a host, or one or the other, and you can meet lifelong friends. and you can go places you couldn't have gotten and read all about it. Seriously. I'm not a journalist, but read all about it. Thank you so much. I'm so delighted you're here with me, though.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to put a little more of Los Caracuaros on. They're not coming this year, though.
No, they've just been once, and Not you'll have to go to Mexico to see them, maybe.
There you go. There you go. Put a little of their music on, and I want to tell folks what else is going on in our area. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Again, the Astoria Music Festival is happening for the next couple of weeks, and VOCA is happening tonight only from 7 to 10 at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. Cannon Beach Plein Air and More Arts Festival all weekend. The Coaster, the Baskerville, opens tonight and runs through September 1st. North Coast, North County Recreation District, that's NCRD, has the Missoula Theater, King Arthur's Quest, tonight at 7, tomorrow at 2. The Barn Playhouse in Tillamook is the Starlight Children's Academy presenting After Hours. The Labor Temple has Kerfuffle, 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night. They're fabulous. And, oh dear, so much else going on, but I am out of time. Don't forget the AVA, Astoria Visual Arts, on Tuesday at Fort George, and stay tuned.